security of losing your tongue. Good. You just say it.
We're doing chapter 12. John was who we're here with. He was doing tongue exercises to loosen those. Are you doing, John?
That's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Seriously, we taught him. You just like move your tongue around a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Say like cut down a second or two.
Fascinating.
Yeah, from 10 seconds to 5.
Alright, John.
Sure.
You're going to start whenever you please. You're doing chapter 12.
Chapter 12. Josh knew one thing, and that was that a crayon did not make a good flashlight. The crayon knew how to tremble, but didn't know how to put on a light show. Josh was considering realizing that he should have brought a proper flashlight, and in that moment, I saw the quizzical look of Josh's total cluelessness, and I realized that all the persecution and all the stolen lunches I had posed on him during his life seemed worth it. Maybe even poetic justice. The heart that had just been driving my blood through my body was now driving me crazily through dark falls. Ray! What in haze are you pouring on us? I exclaimed. A pair of CIA agents in tan leisure suits came towards us. Nothing. At least nothing I've tasted before, Josh said. Or was it the rabbit in his pocket? He went back to figuring out why his crayon wasn't a flashlight and why lumbar support pissed him off. Pardon me, Ray said. But I thought this was the llama's cage. But then I thought that a few drops wouldn't make you all run. Josh had some crazy ideas located in his brain that he likes to blame on Petey. I exclaimed to Ray and then walked over for the ensuing alienation. But hey, we're here. Tea anyone? Josh asked. If I even look at tea, I can't sleep. Ray contested suavely. And your parents, I said, are they so preoccupied that they pour flame retardant assault all over you? I prayed Ray didn't have a gun. The light from Josh's crayon started cruising around like a malevolent sunrise. That's none of your beeswax, Ray said. Well, we're going to the cemetery or not. Does anyone know who won the Charlotte-Orlando game? Josh asked his role as an inso. Everyone breathed out. I ran like John Coltrane to the cemetery. The light from the crayon was all I needed, or so I thought, until I hit the pavement. I was all set to pass out, but there was something too permanent about the light moving towards me. Where are you going? Ray said, gesturing at me with dental floss. To the cemetery, I said. No, he screamed, and then in a much calmer voice, God wouldn't even go there. The tone of his voice was soothing, but the words that came out were a mess and a half. So messy that I could say was, come again? I said the cemetery is not a place to go to. Ray was getting repetitious, and I couldn't see the rooster for the obscurity, but the words were coming out of his mouth like lunch. A cream rinse, Josh was getting right out again. My brother certainly didn't have all of his Legos, and I knew he hadn't been to the dentist, and I also knew that he wasn't listening to the tone in Ray's voice. No cigar, Josh, Ray said. Ray knew Josh was right out, but it was more an odor than a clever turn of, why did the chicken cross the road? But you will believe in God. Why should I, Josh said, or was it a team of roses? Wouldn't you rather have lunch with me, Ray? Wouldn't you rather pretend that it's Monday than go to church? Or am I banning myself to exercise every day for the rest of my life? For a treacherous piece of shit, Josh had a keen eye for interpreting the obscurity around him. You think God's here tonight? You're fucking nuts, Ray said. I decided to run, but I ran into someone, and as God is my gym coach, it was Ray. He was already halfway to being halfway to the cemetery, and Dennis Rodman helped me. I tried to disarm him. Are you going to watch me, or are you going to watch yourself do something? Josh must have been praying that I wasn't packing a gun, because I would have put it to his head and pulled the ripcord. I believe that no man is a placustomus, Ray admonished. Yeah, nothing rhymes with habitless, I thought. Lonnie frickin' da. Wasn't it lunchtime, or was that purely my imagination? You don't have to pour shit all over everyone, Josh said, insisting that he had all of his Legos, but you can pour it over me. That's weird, Ray insisted. That is one male idea. Now, we were all corroded, and we were all treating Josh like he had eaten too much candy. Petey is God, Josh explained, and I'm his say-hey guru. We all walked in front of the ensuing obscurity in silence. The light from Josh's candelabra and the ramifications, candlebra, I set one of those up once, and the ramifications it had for all of the trees was skewed when a top doppelganger appeared from the corner of my eye and took my hand and started leading me to the road to the cemetery. Breathe, please, Ray exhorted me. But Josh didn't know who he was talking to, and he started turning blue. I wanted to leg it over to him, if only so I could watch him change color. Instead, I was limping along like a piece of fried mango. The air was warm, and that pissed me off. Not only did warm air piss me off, but the fact that I looked like a huge mango on a shirt torquing like a Pele penalty kick. And that's an automatic mojo. I heard the news today. Oh boy, a tap and dryer had just won the war, and here we were still legging it to the cemetery and asking everyone we saw if they could paint a mural of Emperor Hiroto on our door. In the ensuing obscurity, I was able to divide everyone into three distinct categories. Hillaries, Ordinaries, and Tubas. Life in Josh's crown meant that he was rapidly approaching brain dead status. My brother, tis of thee. Petey, Petey! Josh's voice romped through the silence like Lanny Kazan biography of Che Guevara. This turban dog looks more like he's singing with the dead, I thought. And that thought sent a spasm to my big toe. No, Petey can't sing, Amanda. Josh had regained my gasp of the obvious. Later, I also yelled, Petey, Petey! But right now, I was still one jar short of asking someone to help me think. This is one badass idea, Ray said, and he said this by very close to me. Petey, Josh yammered. Yeah, that's my name. Don't wear it out, Petey said. I certainly hope that this is not where Josh sings his solo. No one's singing anywhere near me, Ray rapped out. I started to want Ray right there and right then, but Ray didn't look like he'd know what would have hit him, and I wasn't in the mood to explain. Hey, look at this, Josh said, and donned a stupid-looking variation on the red roses of coffee anon. Cross me. I stopped looking for the hilarity of the tubas, and my shoes stopped trying to divide the human landscape into 1,200 pieces of patio furniture. Look, Josh said, all nervous and lumpered up with his crayon shining out like a construction site at a drive-through cemetery. I started eating before I started distinguishing between good and not so good, but the results were the same. I thought that if I treated people as if they were a different species or a species of anteater, I'd be doing all right. But now a bouquet of cadavers was formed in a circle right in the middle of the street. I guess they decided that if I was going to treat them as a species of protozoa with all the inherent fondness, then they wanted to make a scene and then maybe a spectacular salad. Burp. What day are you all going to blow me, I exclaimed. I was so close to seeing God that I started speaking tongues. Amanda, you blow me, Ray said. Come on over to my house. I wasn't used to being treated so brazenly, but I also wasn't used to scurrying around like the Terminex man with a gas mask. How rude, I told him. Who died and left you, King Dentist of the Cemetery? I was looking right at two jackasses named Josh and Ray, and my shoes were looking like they had wanted to choke the light out of both of them. Instead, I stopped, gulped, and the do-re-mi right out the window. That was that. Josh was still lumbering when he meant to be doing... I got distracted. Josh was still lumbering when he meant to be doing was leaving me a big tip and taking his Prozac. Call me a trapezoid, but call me a trapezoid with an enormous ability to reason. Josh raised his crayon like a torch in a toast to all the old men and their blood-sucking multinational corporations that made sure that the metric system never went the distance. They're enormous multinationals, and if they're so inclined, they'll take every anteater they feel doesn't fit in society and put them in underground anti-anteater theaters and make them perform anti-eater propaganda like the do that ate Qualcomm Stadium. Their grandparents were racist, and their grandparents were racist, who levitated the sun and its moons and persuaded its skies to cast its lots with the money barons. Get out of here, Josh growled like one mean and doe-eyed brother. What? And missed this, I said? Come on, Ray, what is this shit? A reunion of lungers, he contested in a voice so suave and bland that I wanted to find my ladder. Look at this treehouse, for example. Now he's utilizing symbols like a young Frank Tanana. Here is where I realized the reunions were not something I understood. In a cemetery? I asked. It was getting difficult to read my lines in his light. Yeah, let's go. Ray was getting all urgency. I was getting my nerves vented. The three of us ran around in circles like this until we started tumbling. Not to be undone, the circle of light from Josh's crayon joined us, stopping only once to smell the pasta. Petey! There he was, his lips full of pie and smelling like a dog. I don't believe it, Josh. This is good, isn't it? My tattoos have a reason to live. Petey, Petey. Josh and I weren't laughing anymore. Suddenly we were juggling and arguing. But Petey wouldn't... No one argument if it came up and flared its nostrils at him. He looked at us like we were all showroom dummies, his eyes red and full of joy, so brilliant that it caused Josh's crayon to fail. Petey, you nookie, I gritted my teeth. The little dog almost sneezed his disciples off, and I knew there was going to be trouble. Why are you sneezing, Petey? Don't you know me? Josh was as pitiful as a substitute teacher and about as aggressive. Petey, is that a toupee? Josh asked all of a sudden, doling out the sour cream. My blood was circulating rapidly, but in that instant, Josh thought Petey was wearing a toupee. In that second, I knew we'd all come apart. Oh, kill that bastard dog! What did you say, I asked? I said, Petey's a horrible little runt of an animal, Josh said. Come on, let's kill the little rat. I knew that aggression like this was worth two in the hand, but I had forgotten to wear gloves. Petey knew this as well, but on a different level. Josh, this isn't the WWF, and this isn't the big one, WW2, I said, trying to calm the Randy lad. It's a corridor to nowhere, and you have no idea what you're talking about. Look at yourself. It was true. He looked at me and flipped me off with one of his claws. I knew that if God didn't come down right now, I was going to shoot me a dog and go shopping for a pet rabbit. It was like filling out forms. What are your habits? What do you do? What do you like in a dog? Why do you prefer porta potties? Why don't you feel like summer? I didn't really mean it, Josh finally said, but he was producing so much mucus that it sounded like, you're the cause of all this, you malodorous piece of shit. Malodorous? Huh? Piece of dog shit. Shit dog. Normally if someone had said that about my dog, I would have broken out a turd vaporizer from the Peen Man Enterprises. I vaporized every single one of the turds, these turds into yesteryear. We better get, Ray said. Instead, we walked back into the cemetery before the trees started getting an inkling of what we were up to. Petey, what's that? What the pasta? I called out to the dog, but he didn't respond. Don't you know your name? Petey? Pedro? What an odorless, horrible mess, Josh exclaimed. We need to go home. This is a case for Barnaby Jones, I said. My trembling was voice. My misplaced was trust, and my tambourine was playing a sister. This is no big whooping, neither is Petey. Josh was getting pensive. Petey's eyes were like two little eyes when Josh's crayon lit him up. Yes, it is. It's just not a big deal, I said. Look, you all can stay here and wrestle with the likes of Petey. Fuck it. Josh and I are going home. Fuck you, Josh responded. Fuck you, Infinity. Well, fuck you in the corny, I said. You don't have to get all huffy. No, huffy you, Josh said with his customary bizarreness. It looked like all options had been taken. I want to say exhausted. I personally think exhausted would be better. Options have been taken. All right, I said. I'll go with Petey. Just give me the crayon. Josh gave me the crayon, and I started looking out the corner of my eye for Petey. Sit, Petey, sit. It was a unique command that only worked on our dog. But this time, I might as well have been hissing like a magnet. The little contrarian dog turned and trod away his head all gaga before leaving only Josh sitting. Pete, get on over here, I said, lame and desperate. No one disobeyed me without prior permission. Yeah, or if God says so, Josh said, because he's totally jealous of me. I moved to the crayon in his direction. Did you have written permission to say that? Petey, Josh called out to his only friend. But that reject from an alcohol commercial was nowhere to be found. Hey, Josh, you want me to tell you that one about the dog that died? I said. It died and its owners called out its name over and over again. What the carne asada do you mean by that? He asked. But I was moving with Ray by the light of the Hillary moon. Later for that shit. Very later. So later that I'd later be repeating myself later. But at least the dog would still be dead, or at least asleep. Then there was a circle of light seen in slow motion in front of a lap dance. The light wrote its name in the high Drek, and his name was Mud. I couldn't move. I just had a great hamburger. I couldn't move, but I finally decided to spit. Josh, look. Petey is just a garish, pig-barreled bastard with low self-esteem. What the pig spit? Josh asked, confused. Look, it's your name, and it's a pie, Drek. All right. It's really said Karen Somerset. Now Josh was really confused. Later, he'd still look disconcerted. That's my new little friend, I told him. She's the one the gods were toying with that day at the school. I thought you said she was your sister or your algebra teacher, Josh. Later you could get all aggro and impatient. Get out of here. We're going to find Petey. No, we're not. We're going to find his entrails, I replied. Instead, he read the pie direct again. Now it said Karen Somerset, 1960 to 1972. That can't be her mom, because her mom is a tree, I said. Keep the crayon light shining, because my mom is the term, blah, 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 blah. Karen was older and stranger than 12. So was I, and so was my dad. That and Karen was older than 12. Or did I already say that? Amanda! Josh grit his teeth and looked like he was going to pour otter sauce from a ladle. But I know God when it passes illuminated in front of me like a dipolated segue.
Segway.
So I left my name and took a number. Amanda, for the love of Pete, let's get! I knew that it had to be Josh. That segue was as subtle as writing the name George Carpenter and then the date 1975-1988 all over some pie drag. Josh, look, it's George, the guy from the school. Amanda, remember we had that encounter group meeting with Petey to go to? Josh insisted. But even my alarm clock couldn't wake me up now. I was passed around from one to another while everyone wrote an inscription on my screen in crayon skin. First it was Jerry Franklin, then it was Bill Gregory. My anguish crescendoed. Those were the boys who were playing softball, and I don't think they'd washed their hands since. They all seemed like Tanzanian lapdogs with boring-ass names. With my heart gulping and my mouth beating, I was all topsy-turvy, and I was tumbling like a human terror cloth. If I stood still, I'd congeal, and no way in the world wanted that. So they tossed me, and I felt a tremendous sickness that manifested itself in the moment that I saw an inscription on my right flank. Ray Thurston, 1977-1987. No! Josh made me laugh. I could hear his voice, that I could understand, but I couldn't understand what these words were referring to. The rest of the world knew something I didn't. It knew that letters really spelled out Ray Thurston, 1977 to 1988. My God! I had stopped moving. I looked at the letters and the numbers. They looked like the title of someone's final paper on the topic of running sideways because you're bored and snoring. Ray Thurston, 7771818. Quickly, I started counting kids, and Ray, and who was number 7, was sitting silently on my ladder. He looked a little strange. Rah! All at once, I couldn't pronounce his name. It was too hard. Meanwhile, the light from the crayon lit me up like Michael Jordan. Ray, that's you. That is, you're you. His eyes looked like Brillo pads, except more brazen. Yep, I'm me, he said, without using his voice, and I started feeling sick again. Amanda, you better sit down and shut up.
That was amazing,
Angel.
Thank you. What did you say about that?
I like it.
Yeah?
I just, yeah, made me happy.
All right. See you, Dad.
Cheers.